This is The Topic is Trek, episode 58 for Friday, January 17th, 2020. Coming up in this episode, our interview with Mark Lee. Right now on The Topic is Trek. We're going to Hollywood! Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, joining us right now is Mark Lee. Mark is the CEO and founder of MBL Entertainment, LLC, as well as an ambassador for Celestis, which is a company that helps people reach the stars by lifting their ashes into space. He does all sorts of things. He hosts Saturday morning, you can find him hosting Saturday morning cartoons on Facebook. He's a perennial MC at Dragon Con, at MegaCon, at any other con. But above all that stuff, Mark is a fan. And you should know that first and foremost, he comes by his celebrity honestly. And I know because I've known Mark for about 30 years or so now.
So, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Time flies. And we're having Mark on the show this time around, which is an oversight on our part for not having him on before. But Mark was just at the ceremonies that took place in Hollywood for the premiere of Star Trek Picard, which included the premiere of the first three episodes over at the Cinerama Theater. And they call it the signing ceremony, I guess.
Man Chinese Theater handprint, right, and cement thing.
Right. In Sir Patrick's case, it's his handprints and his sneaker prints, in the cement. So please welcome Mark. How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, I am back in warm Florida. It was a little chilly out in LA, but it was actually perfect weather for most. Until the evening hours came down and dipped a little bit where I needed a jacket. You know, we Floridians do not like fabric on our arms and legs. And that was kind of uncomfortable for me being out there and having to run back for my jacket because I'm like, I'm not home, you know.
You actually own a jacket?
Actually, I do. What I don't own are gloves.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, I go back to Baltimore to visit my mom every Christmas season, and I always forget to at least buy gloves while I'm up there because we don't sell those kind of items down here in Florida.
So let's start talking about all the stuff that happened, because I rattled off. We've got multiple events that went on.
Oh, my God.
That was the first one, the ceremony at the Chinese Theater?
Yeah, everything was on the same day.
Okay.
The ceremony started at 11 a.m. at the Chinese Theater, and then the premiere, we had to be at Will Call to pick up our tickets. That was at 5, but the viewing actually started at 6:30, which I think they did run a little late.
Fashionably late.
Yeah, fashionably late.
Right.
Now, for the ceremony at the theater itself, talk a bit about the setup of that, because, you know, we've often seen photos of these ceremonies, and of course, you sometimes have the impression that, you know, it's all laid out there in the cement, and the celebrity comes along and does their thing right there, and that's not always the case. What happened at the ceremony at the man's?
It's a major production. I arrived a little early. I'm supposed to meet my contact or show up at security at 10:30, and I arrived a little early. So what I basically did was pretty much walk up and down, you know, Hollywood for a bit, because the entire street was blocked off.
Wow.
They were laying carpet in the road. They had a ton of security, a lot of trucks, and it had absolutely nothing to do with Patrick's hand signing ceremony. They were setting up for the premiere of Bad Boys 3.
Will Smith.
Correct. Best and that was last night. Okay, so our the hand signing ceremony was on Monday night. And then Will Smith's premiere was the following night, last night. And they were setting up the entire area for that. If you've ever been to any one of those huge movie premieres, I've actually attended an Academy Awards at that theater one year, many, many years ago. And that setup was enormous, nothing like the Bad Boys premiere setup, but it was very impressive. So the area that is Man's Chinese Theater, formerly called Man's Chinese Theater, is now TCL Chinese Theater, was cordoned off from the sidewalk. So they had black pipe and drape up and security at every entrance into that area. But you could still kind of peek in and see how everything was set up. And I had an opportunity of standing there talking to security before, you know, my allotted time to meet my contact, and taking pictures from literally the Walk of Fame, because that is where all the stars, literally the stars, are on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty interesting operation. Even when I was allowed in, they were still setting things up. Guys, if you have any questions, interject, because one shot. I can do a 1917 on you here.
Yeah, is it now when you have the ceremony, who were the people that were invited to the actual to be seated, if you will, there? Well, because obviously it's not a big auditorium. It's you're basically on the sidewalk.
You're outside. Yes, you're outside in the courtyard. In front of is where all of the prints, the hand and footprints are. That is literally cordoned off, blocked off. And they go in and lay in red carpet. They put in a stage. They put in a huge backdrop with the images of, Patrick's show behind us, what everybody pretty much spoke in front of. And to answer your question, this is going to be weird. You have security all over the place inside of there. You have the handlers, the people that take care of the guests that are going to be speaking. And of course, Patrick's handler herself. And you have on one side the there were two rows of chairs, black seating, black chairs. They were set at basically a little bit of an angle to the stage. So you had a right side and you had a left side. So if you're looking at the stage, okay, on the left side was the seating for the cast of Picard.
So that's the friends of the bride or the groom. I forget which. Yes.
Okay, I don't know either, to be honest with you. I've never been married, thank God. But anyway, and then on the right side were friends and family of Patrick and actors of TNG.
Okay.
Okay, if you got that visual, then dead center of that, you had a plexiglass tall podium with a mic attached to it. You had a stage, which was all red carpeted. And then the backdrop was basically the Picard advertising, or shall I say, the banner or whatever. It was huge. So, and that was it.
So it's a bit different. I think you've also been to. I went to a dedication of a star on the Walk of Fame. I went to Gene Roddenberry's dedication.
Oh, good.
But that I was went, just. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been to Jimmy's.
Okay, so, yeah. But in that case, it's just, there's a podium in front of the star there on the sidewalk, and the crowds are basically right up against, at least they were for Gene's, right up against the sidewalk almost. There's a barrier, but it was really close. And so you're right, you know, Leonard was there, and everybody was there, yeah.
This is incorrect.
Okay, so that's not the, but like I said, that was for a star on the Walk of Fame. This is a completely different deal.
Correct.
So this is set up. So the fans are clearly not right there sitting in chairs.
The fans were so far away that it was an injustice for them to even have them in the area at all, because where they placed them, they could see someone on the stage, but they were pretty far back and basically not in the area at all, in my opinion, to view this. I tried to get him in, but it wasn't my call. Security really wanted, you know, uninvited people to literally be away from the ceremonies.
Did they have any kind of tchotchkes for them or anything, or, you know, like a free poster or just, you know,
No.
No. Okay. Nothing. They got nothing.
Yep.
That's right.
The fans basically couldn't see the ceremony. I mean, even out on the sidewalk, you know, it was blocked off with pipe and drape. You couldn't see inside of that area of the Chinese theater at all from the sidewalk.
Wow.
At all. Totally black. Totally pipe and drape. Curtains, tall, you know, 12-foot high curtains blocking off the entire view. The paparazzi were in on bleachers against those curtains inside of the courtyard. There were rows of bleachers set up, and that's where I should have counted them. I didn't, but if I had to take a guess, I would say there were at least 50, 60 cameras and, you know, still cameras and moving cameras all set up, tripoded out, paparazzi on upper decks, down on the ground, all ready for the production.
Okay. Oh, we're getting a bit of thumping from a microphone. I'm not sure who's...
That could be him. Could be me moving things around.
Okay. When the ceremony actually happened, who spoke?
Okay. So the ceremony started off. The first speaker who came out... Well, first it was the general manager of Chinese Theater. He was the one that introduced everybody. That's my friend, Levi Tinker. Hi, Levi. He does a ton of these. Any celebrity that's getting their foot and handprint in the in that area, he is responsible for organizing all of that and, in fact, assisting the people who are coming in and out of the cement, if that makes any sense. So
yes.
Levi was first. He came out and spoke. And then, let me think hard, after him, I think Levi introduced LeVar.
Okay.
So LeVar was the first speaker, came out, said some very, 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 very nice, heartfelt words about Patrick, pretty much how, you know, they all met, how much of a genius he is. He described Patrick as always being cool as a cucumber. So, and then after LeVar came Marina, and I had the chance to, they saw me in the courtyard and came over to me. I was over in the corner, but Brent Spiner was the first one that saw me, and he came over and started chatting. And then Marina came, and I wanted to hug Marina for the longest time, only because of the loss of her husband. And
right.
I told her how much I miss Michael. And then Gates showed up, so we all four are next to a garbage can in the corner just pretty much chatting away.
Kind of
and
strange.
I excused myself because I'm not one to linger. If you guys understand.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I excused myself and kind of just went over to the side and pretty much started filming a little bit of the area and went back out and talked to the fans who couldn't get in and just pretty much, you know, reassured them that, hey, I know you're here. I'm going to make sure I try my best to ask to see if I can get you guys in, which to no avail, I could not. Okay. Then after Marina spoke, I'm an old man, guys. Rick Berman came next.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he came up on stage and said his bit. And then it was Rick, I do believe. I'm not missing anyone, pretty sure, who introduced Patrick. But before that, David Livingston, if you guys know that name, with Trek. I think he was a producer with Trek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you guys remember him. Well, he was and is currently... paparazzi.
Oh.
So he was a part of the filming crew, literally the paparazzi with his long lens camera and the whole nine yards who was in the bleachers. He came over and when Brent, Gates, Marina, and myself were in a corner, he came over to, you know, give his salutations or whatever. But he said a few words to Marina that, you know, kind of broke her down. So that was, you know, sad to see, but you can tell that she's still very, very fragile, as I'm sure she will be for a while. You know?
Right,
sure.
So David was pretty much, you know, saying, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. And then he retreated back to his bleacher spot where this was all before the whole ceremony started. Then at the end, the last speaker, which was Rick Berman, came up and talked a little bit about Patrick and how long it worked together and how he got the job, the whole nine yards. And then he introduced Patrick Stewart. So Patrick comes up on the stage and thanks everyone because his wife was there. Oh my God, who were those parents? They weren't his parents. I think they were the parents of Patrick's wife whose name he introduced me to and I totally forgot her name. But anyway, the parents were there. So on that right side, as you're looking at the stage, was friends and family, handlers and cast from TNG. You know, it's where Rick Berman retreated to, where LeVar retreated to, where everyone retreated to that area. And I was standing right behind the row. They told me I could sit down. I didn't want to. I really wanted to roam and film.
Right, right.
I didn't want to be in a stationary position. I really wanted to try to give the fans who were watching my Facebook Live a full effect of what I was trying to get of the location that all of this was happening in. And sitting in a standard location, I would just be constantly focused on the stage.
And I want to point out at that point, which is a good time to mention, you, I believe, have posted on YouTube a video of that, right?
Yes. It is on YouTube. You can find that. And there's a link available somewhere.
Yeah, I will find it and put it into the show notes so you can check it that for that.
Yep, and you can watch the whole broadcast. It gets really interesting, really funny. You'll see at some point after Patrick has went through, and I'll describe this in a minute if you allow me to. After he was done and got off stage, I still had my phone running, the camera running, and he came right up to me. And you'll see that in the video, where we reassociated ourselves with each other. And I just basically told him how cool he was up there. And I said, I said, you look great, Patrick. You look really young, blah, blah, blah. You must have some black in you. And he laughed, chuckled, whatever, and said, you know, Mark, I think I need to go on Ancestry.com to get that confirmed. You know,
there you go.
Right.
So he was really funny. I've worked with Patrick for probably as long as Trek. In fact, I met Patrick Stewart before Next Generation aired. And it was a trip out to L.A. where I was going to be on the set of Next Generation, take a little tour. And we were there a day early. And some friends, Joe Motes, if you know that name, he did all the Vulcan conventions down in Florida. But anyway, so we were out in L.A., you know, to meet Gene Roddenberry and to go on the set, yada, yada, yada. But we wanted to do a little bit of a tour before, the day before, and we wanted to find the Beverly Hills Mansion, the Beverly Hillbillies Mansion, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we found the Beverly Hillbillies Mansion. So while we're acting just like, you know, brilliant tourists as a tour star, and we're taking shots, out of my peripheral vision to the left, there was a jogger coming towards me. And I kind of looked and I turned back and kept taking pictures of the castle. And I said to, the mansion. I said to Joe, I said, you see a guy coming up here? I said, nah. You know, we kind of blew it off till he got closer and closer and closer and closer. And he went past us. And we had people down at the other end of the mansion. And they were running frantically toward us and said, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? I said, no. He said, that's the new captain for the new Star Trek show. And I said, you got to be kidding. Go stop him. And she literally ran off and she stopped him. And we caught up to
him. And she went off and she tackled him. And
on the grass. Yeah. Put your hands behind your back, sir. and we told him how excited we were going to be on the set tomorrow. Thank you very much. And you are Patrick Stewart, right? And he says, yes, how perceptive you are. And blah, 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 blah. So that was long ago before Next Generation started that we met Patrick Stewart that time. So, from that point on, I have at least seen or worked with, you know, where the moderator announced, he did an auction with me once for, you know, 25, 30 years of TNG life. I've been somewhere near Patrick Stewart at some point. So it was nice that, you know, he recognized. I never expect anybody to remember me.
I think you can see why I said we should have had Mark on long time ago, because I know he's got 1.5 million of these stories.
Oh, yeah, right. Sounds
it,
like it.
It is 1.5 million. Someday I'll tell you some really cool stories. Other stories I can't tell you until most of these guys die off.
That's exactly right. So we'll restrict ourselves to the ceremonies, though, just for now.
Oh, you don't want to hear the story about Denise Crosby and I being naked together?
No, well, we will have you back on for that and many others.
Okay.
But
bear in mind, I have no proof to show you.
Right.
Your word is good to me, Mark. Don't worry.
Yeah. All right. Cool, Clint. So Patrick got up on stage and pretty much told, not his life story, because I'm sure he's told that 1,000,000 times, but the pleasure of being up there on stage. And at some point, he choked up. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen Patrick pretty much cry before, but other than, on set. But
right. Way.
But he did choke up. And what he choked up majorly to was the fact that he thought he did not deserve to be there. Mm-hmm. And that literally was the area where he choked up on, where he thought he was, not worthy. I'm not worthy, And everybody. Of course, Brent from the Peanut Gallery was basically throwing as many jabs as he possibly could at Patrick while from his seat. And, Patrick was, kind of deflecting them or throwing them back at him too. But he was very, very humble. He was very genuine. He was an honorable man. This guy is just like he is on screen. Just like he is on screen. So at the end, not the end, then came the prince. So Levi, my friend, had to come back up. And I'm going to jump ahead a bit because I did a tour. Levi took me on a tour of the theater, of the Chinese theater, took me up in the projection room, took me places where the public's not allowed, and also showed me the practice slab.
That's right. Now, they practice, they're actors. They practice putting hands in the cement.
Right. And my picture of that practice slab is on my Facebook page as well. You'll see where he signed his name twice within the same area of wet cement, shall I say. And of course it was on top of the concession area in the theater, or the concession counter in the theater. So all he could do was his hand prints. So mm-hmm. you saw two signatures, for practice, and then his hand prints. So Levi obviously took him through the ropes of what to expect when it's time for him to do that real life. Okay.
Yeah, outside. Yeah, I saw a picture. I think Kevin Smith posted a picture when he did his recently.
Oh yeah,
And he had exactly, it was a picture just what you were talking about. It was like a concession stand area, somewhere away from where they were actually doing the thing, and he was doing the same thing, doing a practice run.
Well, I found out, segueing to your story there, I found out from Levi, the general manager of the theater, that it was Kevin Smith who started the ban of public viewing for those wet cement ceremonies, only because of the business owners on either side of that theater was complaining, because when it was wide open to the street, it started a traffic log. Mm-hmm. No one could go up and down the street. No one could go into those business owners' stores. And it was Kevin Smith who created that pandemonium, or I guess it was a bigger crowd than usual, whatever.
Right.
And the management at the theater decided they were going to now pipe and drape these and keep it away from the public viewing on these things now.
Of course, ironically, the entire section of the street was blocked off, so it didn't really matter.
It was really weird. Yeah, because you had barricades along the gutter, shall I say, of the street, because they're setting up for Bad Boys 3. And in the meantime, you had this pipe and drape that you can't even go into the courtyard to see the prints that a lot of the fans came from all over the world to see, because the ceremony was about to happen. So
Hollywood is closed. The moose out front should have told you.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a lot of supermen walking around. Wanting to barter for photos and all this kind of stuff. So that made it even more interesting, So the handprint ceremonies themselves, there is sort of like a piano bench, a low one that's set before the front of the stage. They cleared out a lot of things off the stage, had him kneel down on a sort of piano bench after they had brought out the slab, which is a lot bigger than the test slab. So if you see the test slab, that's just for small testing. Right. The big full slab, you had to get your hand and your foot in and you have to date it. They brought that out. And, I stand corrected. It was always there when all the speakers came out. So it was there before the ceremony started, that slab there. So it was time for him to go ahead and put his hands in first. So he got on his knees and he pressed down and did a good take. But he paparazzi was incredible because I'm standing next to them so I can get a full-on filming of Patrick doing this. And they're saying, Patrick, look here too. Patrick, can you look to the right? Patrick, please look. Patrick, smile, please. Patrick, over here to the left, sir. Over here, sir. Right here, sir, please. Please, right here, sir. And it was continuous, right? So Patrick was kidding around with him, and there are some pictures I saw, I think the Getty Images took, where Patrick's almost kind of cocked his head all the way around while he still had his hands
360. Embedded in his
hand, smiling, teeth to teeth, you know, showing because he was having fun with the whole ceremony. And then they had him say, okay, be still. Someone came behind him, rotated him up, gave him a towel. He then got into position to put his feet, which he wore sneakers for his prints, okay? And had him step into the wet cement, and then Levi came over and pressed down the front of his feet, made sure that his heel was secure just so you can get the full imprint. Because you know how some shoes, they flare up a little bit in the front.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it probably looked cut off if you ever took your feet off of that. You never see the full foot. Right. So he pressed down on the front of it to get that full imprint. And then after that, he and the TNG cast and the cast of Picard all went, I want to say backstage, but it's a little room behind the back of all of that. And then I guess he went to say, you know, thanks to everybody, his goodbyes to everybody, whatever. And then he came back out to hold a press conference for all the paparazzi that was out there filming. And that was pretty much it. And I sat my butt down after everybody basically left and watched them as they tore down. There's a guy who, you know how workmen spread grout onto a tile floor, right? Yep. Well, the tool that they use, a guy came out with that same tool and he was so meticulous. He literally cut off, because if your feet goes down into the mud, it sinks a little bit, so you create a crater. Well, he kind of cut off a little bit of that crater because otherwise when it rained there, as it hardened, when it was hard and in the ground, it picks up puddles. Like a soup bowl. So he literally trimmed off the edges. Okay. And he did. I couldn't see really up close. I didn't want to stand over him and be rude, but he did a little bit with his signature as well. And I'm assuming probably the same thing where he kind of smoothed out the edges, smoothed out the lines to make it either more durable or, more waterproof, let's say.
Yeah, probably if you've got those raised edges and you put it down like that and somebody comes along and you're shuffling across, you could just break off a piece of it.
Yeah, it could be dangerous too if anybody came in high heels and he said, "Oh, look, my feet fits right in there." Oh, get my heel. I don't know. So that was the end of that ceremony. So
then you had to. Well, you didn't have to hightail it at that point. Over
I had
to,
my hotel was up in Burbank, and of course I drove down and got parked in the Hollywood and Highland parking garage, which is basically right under the Kodak Theater complex. Right. That's all Kodak Theater stuff. Right. And I had to hightail it back to Burbank, and I literally wanted to take a nap because I had to be back down by 5. So I think I left Burbank, the whole ceremony, I think I left about 1:30. It took me about 30 minutes to get back. I got some food in me first because I knew I wouldn't be able to get any food at all. Got to my room, took a nap because I had to come down and pick up my date. Shall I say, for the war ceremony, we left at 4:00. So it was pretty, I think I probably had maybe a 45 minute nap. That's all I could fit in before I headed down for the premiere.
Right. And if you're not familiar, basically Mark has gone well, a relatively distance away from the Chinese theater to go back to his hotel. And then it's coming back to very close to where he had just been.
That's exactly right.
To go to, over to the Cinerama.
To the ArcLight Cinerama. Yeah, I went back to change because, you know, I got into a suit at that point. Went back to change and got down to the theater about 4:30-ish, 4:45. Ended up parking the car and then walked to the courtyard. And there was already a massive line of fans. And the interesting thing about it, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go forward on this, it was old school week or old home week when I saw the people that were in the line.
Oh, we got some thumping again, Mark. I'm not sure if that's who that is.
Sorry. Yeah, that's, okay. I think I might be hitting. I'm sorry. I saw a lot of people from the convention scene back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of old producers from StarTrek.com that I've known for decades, Larry Nemechek and his crew, Tim Gaskell, a lot of people that wrote for CBS back in the day. They were all out in the courtyard ready to pick up their tickets and their swag before we were allowed inside.
Ooh, there was swag. What was the swag?
My God, if this was on video, I'd show you the communicator pin. Okay, how can I describe it? Because I'm not that nerdy, but it had the two black stripes underneath of the symbol, the Starfleet symbol.
Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. Two wide black solid stripes that protruded from the bottom of it, and I'm not sure if that's significant to the Picard series or if it's in other, like Discovery, other series like that, any short treks or anything like that. I don't know. I haven't seen. I haven't paid attention. And of course, we had the ticket. They gave us a couple other pins as well, and a poster, and you know, stuff like that. The theater is huge on the inside. Okay. So, any questions before I move on?
We're getting close to the end. Right. So, just when we talk about the setup there. So we talked about how the fans were extremely far away and couldn't see anything at all over at the Chinese theater. Now, was it better for them over at the ArcLights?
100 times better. Now, I'm sure if you're a really, really true fan, you're still going to get a little upset that you didn't have the perfect experience that you suspected you would have had over at the Chinese theater. But I think it made up for itself over at the premiere, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about how this worked. We had a long line from the will call tables and the VIP tables, and there was a table for SAG, all SAG members, to pick up their tickets. There was a representative from CBS who came out amongst the line and said, I need all costumed fans to follow me right now. So they
the one time I don't wear a costume.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm in a damn suit. This is the future. What's wrong with me?
I'm in a costume, but it's for Star Wars.
Yeah. But it kind of played well, I guess. I was a little disappointed, but then if I didn't have the handprint ceremony was last minute for me. So planning the trip, I thought I was only attending the premiere. If they would have done for me what they did for those fans, had I not been at the handprint, I would have been upset because they put all those fans deep into the red carpet scenario.
Mm.
Nice.
Okay. And literally there's photos that Getty took where you see Patrick backs up against a whole crowd of Starfleet people and Andorians and Klingons, the whole nine yards. Perfect backdrop. Okay, perfect backdrop. So they got to witness all the costume people just brought in. I'm sure there's tons of paparazzi out there. I don't know. I'll tell you why in a minute. But that's where they had the whole, just like any premiere where you have the setup, the backdrop, and the actors walk in. They stop. They pose. The handlers take him over to an interviewer from God knows whatever channel station, the whole nine yards. I literally saw those interviews the next day while I'm laying in bed watching the morning news.
All asking the same question again and again and again.
How do you feel, Mr. Stewart?
Yes, and how long have you been bald? You know,
how long have you been British? I don't know.
Even longer than I've been bald.
Then, of course, I would not have heard any of those questions because we were part of the VIP team that was motioned inside of the theater. So all we could see from inside of the theater was the door that the actors would be walking through after they've done the red carpet stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in the lobby. It's tons of people. I'm there with Rod Roddenberry. I'm there with other actors who were actually on TNG. I found a few people who had bit roles from TNG. I was in there with Gary Graham. I was there with a bunch of other people and names. In fact, at some point, the entire cast for Picard has showed up and mingled in the lobby. And I didn't recognize any of them because I had no idea who anyone looked like.
They haven't made a name for themselves yet.
Now, thank goodness, during the early days of TNG, we had magazines such as Starlog. Mm-hmm. And when Starlog would hit, you know, you grab it off the stand, you open up, and you see all the characters and the write-ups of everybody who's going to be in Next Generation. Okay? I did no research whatsoever on this show. Okay? None. And I didn't recognize anybody, but I'm going to tell you one thing. After those episodes were over, I knew the faces of each and every one of those actors.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool. And I'll speed this up a little bit so I don't take up too much of you guys' time. But they had free popcorn and free soda stacked up on the counters inside the theater. So you just grab and go, come back and grab and go. You know, it was pretty awesome. I preferred more champagne and hors d'oeuvres and things of that nature, but we're peasants, you know. This is a stinking CBS premiere. But anyway, so they motioned us.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but they motioned us inside the theater, and I walked around filming and talking to a few people. Hold on, I'm going to lose my voice here a minute.
Okay.
I mean,
I think Marcus is here. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I muted myself.
Yep.
So I didn't.
Yep.
But anyway, so the screen is humongous, curved screen. I've never been in that theater before.
Oh, I was there one time. It is. I'm surprised. Is it still just a one cinema theater still? Because it was when I was there.
That's a good question. I think so. Because I didn't see any way of getting to anywhere. No, I'm wrong. Yeah. I think next door there was another theater.
Okay. But yes, it is. It is huge. And was it full?
It was packed to the gills.
Wow.
I have no idea how many seats that holds. I know Levi told me the man's holds 2,200. This theater was, you know, in seating capacity, it was just as big as inside the Chinese theater. So, and as you walk through the theater, they had on the screen the sort of like the promos are showing each one of the characters as it rotated itself around for the entire time. And it was a good long time before the actors came in and see. Now, they had names on sheets of paper taped to seats throughout the theater. So all the actors were spread out.
Okay.
But it's interesting enough that I think they were all spread out on my side of the room. Okay. Huh. Because I had Jerry Ryan in my aisle. I had Jonathan DeLargo behind me. I had Wilson Cruz behind me, one seat over. I had Patrick Stewart across the aisle. I had Kirkman across the aisle. I had, you know, all the big names were on my side of the room, which was pretty damn impressive.
Sweet.
So those guys took their seats, and then Kurtzman and Patrick opened the film. So they got down in the middle of the floor with a microphone, and they pretty much spoke, and Kurtzman talked about how much he admires Patrick and how much it's great to be working with this great thespian and this knighted, you know, individual and things of that nature. And then Patrick spoke and said a few more words of you know, how this was a passion of his and you know, how much he thought these came out well. So really briefly to wrap this thing up so I don't put you guys to sleep.
And before Mark says this, I want to assure people that Mark is no spoilers, not talking about any of these episodes. So if you came anticipating he was going to talk about them, I'm sorry. Not going to do that.
If you want spoilers, join our Patreon. I'm just kidding.
Which we don't have, so.
You know, I write movie reviews, but my movie reviews are called non-spoiler or spoiler-free movie reviews.
Right.
So you can come to my page at any time, and I will describe a movie to you based on my thoughts and feelings, but would not tell you what happened, who died, oh, here's the best scene, don't go pee and at this point. No, that's not. Well, actually, I would tell you that. Don't go pee.
Yeah, right. I hope so.
But other than that, no, I hate that. I don't like, I scroll past Facebook, you know, feeds and stuff real quickly if I see a catchword or a catchphrase that I know is going to end up being a spoiler.
But I did have a question for you, Mark, because you saw the first three episodes.
Correct.
Now, I don't know what the length is because it is.
Good question.
Because it's streaming. Question. Were they just literally strung? Did you get like three sets of opening credits? Three?
No.
Okay.
No. These obviously were cut in the studio.
Okay.
Okay. We only got the opening credits once. Okay. And then as each episode ended, it went immediately into the next episode.
Okay. Good. All right.
Okay, So no flashbacks, you know, last week, you know, nothing like that. It went straight into the next episode.
Previously on Star Trek Picard.
Yeah. You can still tell they were three episodes, so they weren't cut like a movie.
Yeah.
Okay? They weren't seamless, you know, or anything like that. So you still saw that they were three individual episodes.
I imagine it's kind of like Discovery. Were you there for like 3 hours? I mean, I guess it was about an hour each or so.
Well, I think they were less only because just like Mandalorian, just like some of the other streaming services, I guess their intent is to sell it, to syndicate it later to leave space for commercials.
Right. So it's probably no longer than 48 minutes tops with opening and closing credits.
Correct. I think it is that. So we probably saw 3 48-minute, you know, episodes. I didn't time it. I was too wrapped up in it to even look at my watch. And okay, this is a spoiler.
Better play it.
Really, hold on. It really isn't a spoiler. Spoiler alert. Okay. All right. Am I still on?
Yeah, still on. You are still on.
Yeah, because Clint, your face disappeared on my Skype, so I figured they muted me or something.
Well, that's just to be kind to you. I don't know.
It's a feature. It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see you guys now. Okay, right. No women, huh? Too bad. Anyway.
Okay, I'll bring Bonnie in. She'll join it. No.
The non-spoiler spoiler that I'm going to tell you is if you are waiting to see Jeri Ryan, Marina Sirtis, and Jonathan Frakes, who we all know are in Picard,
right.
Okay, they do not happen during any of the first three.
Okay.
Good to know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So now I'll be looking forward to the fourth episode to see if, in fact, that's the episode where Jeri Ryan, you know, or...
Guns a-blazing.
Yeah. Right. So it's really interesting. There is some continuity issues with a trailer that I saw with Jonathan Frakes in it and what happened in these episodes.
Oh, that's so trailers are good for that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, that scene got cut or, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. So that's a little confusing to me, but I'll wait until I see the other episodes. All right. Episode one, of course, everything is building up. Introduction of people, yada, yada, yada. I will say this happened at the end of episode one. I'm so going to be confused on if it was episode one, episode two. The fans will jump for joy, have their lower jaw hit the ground, and possibly cry when we find out certain things in episode one and two.
Okay.
It was a surprise to me. It was... I don't even know if I want to use the word brilliant, because... There were moments in there or a revelation in there that kind of made sense, God, I hate it when people do this to me. So I don't know why I'm doing this to you guys.
Right. Look, you can spoil it. That's when I make my surprise cameo.
I'm gonna warn anyone that's listening. From this point on, from this point on, I beg of you, do not look at the internet. Do not go on the internet, because we had probably, 1,000 people in that theater.
Right.
I'm surprised I haven't seen a spoiler yet. But if you catch a spoiler for what I'm talking about, that's it. You're going to make so many people mad, because you're going to spread it. They're going to spread it. It's going to be wildfire. And by the time it debuts on the 23rd, you've already known everything about it. So please avoid the internet. If you're a Star Trek fan, if you really want to be surprised by Star Trek Picard, please stay away, or do like I do. Scroll past real quick. If you see a catchphrase like, oh my God, I don't believe, and scroll real quick, get out of that. Okay, I want everyone to have the pleasant surprise that I had when I saw it. In fact, after the movie was over, Marina caught me out in the lobby and said, Mark, tell me, what'd you think? And I said, Marina, I loved it. And she said, good. So it's really, really important that no one access the internet. You know, those types that are just so impatient, you need to know every little tiny bit of information or you'll die. I feel so sorry for you.
Well, I'm one of those people you have to feel sorry for, because nature of the show, I have to go through all the stories to see what things we're going to talk about on the show. So I pretty much see everything.
Before the show, you have to do this?
Well, before we record, I do all the show notes. So
that could be after an episode, correct?
Well, hopefully so. Well, knock on wood.
Stay the hell off the internet.
Okay. All right. That's it, people. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's some very upsetting scenes in this. There's a lot of surprises. There's so much canon in Star Trek Picard. You're going to see things that's in relationship to TNG.
Of course. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, without a doubt, you're going to see issues that are in relationship to the next gen movies, which is very important. Okay. Not all of them were the best, so you can kind of eliminate a few of them out of your brain, but, insurrection. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so, but in terms of the characters themselves, it is brilliant. I think the only problem that I'm going to have is getting to know this crew, much like I got to know the Discovery crew.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you see the hodgepodge of characters that they have on the Discovery Bridge and down in engineering and things that I know. Oh, speaking of engineering, and I am sorry to reveal this, but I will, and it's not really a spoiler, because everyone's going to see this and they're going to say, yep, you're right. There's a Tilly.
Okay, not actual Tilly.
Correct. I said a Tilly.
A right. Tilly-like.
There's Tilly, yeah. Yes.
Tilly.
It's Killy. It's Killy, right. Yeah. It's Killy. Oh, that's so wrong. So I saw that actress in the lobby, didn't know who the hell she was until I saw her face up on screen. I'm like, oh my God. And the fact that the camera does in fact put on 10 pounds, she was a lot thinner in the lobby than she was on the screen.
Mm.
Okay. There are some great character developments. A lot of this, even up into the first three episodes. And I think we don't even see, and I can say this, you don't see the full crew through the three episodes, guys. They're just not ready yet. Okay.
Right.
But the ones you do see in those three episodes, you're going to really enjoy. Very, very important parts that they have. All of them acted brilliantly. I was really, really happy. And I'm a big guy. I'm a guy big on writing. Okay. If I can guess the scenario, you fail. Okay. If I'm repeating dialogue, and just as you're saying it, you fail. Okay. And I'm a really, really big fan of good writing, and this had brilliant writing. The special effects is motion picture quality. Is some serious money in that, much like Mandalorian put serious money into their episodes. Mm-hmm. It was really good to see some certain places and areas and things that where you're not looking at the world of the Orville. You're not looking at the world of Star Wars. You're not looking at other worlds of other shows. This world we're familiar with because we've been watching it for 40 something odd years, you know, and it's really nice to be to revisit, if that makes any sense, certain things that we've been watching for 42 years. That was really great to see.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to be concerned about getting too spoilery. So maybe we should wrap up at this point just sure. to,
I can give you some scores.
Yeah. So yes. That's what I was saying.
How many sales would you give this?
Yeah. Well, I'm very, very particular about, like I said, writing, yada, yada. My sacred areas in my scores is 8, 9, 10. There are rarely movies, TV shows that hit that, but they have, okay? So episode 1, these are my personal scores. You guys judge for yourself because I do have some friends that I think they go over the top. You know, it's like a puppy getting a new bone or something and their tail's wagging frantically. They do that to certain series, and I'm scratching my head like, yeah, well, okay, you know, it was all right. You know, it wasn't aggro. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm even keeled, I think, level-headed about all of this. So first episode, episode 1 of Star Trek Picard, I give a 6.5. Okay.
A little side there.
Exactly. Right. It was lower than I expected, believe it or not. Okay, but
well, they're setting episode. Everything up, right? I guess.
Hey, what did you guys think of the first episode of Mandalorian? As I keep throwing that out, because I love Mandalorian.
Boring.
What'd you think? So one, right? Okay.
Yeah. Even TNG wasn't good until they got the collars.
Oh my God, when they started copying classic TOS episodes, yes. You knew something was wrong. Okay, so yes, you're right. So 6.5, episode one. 6.2 gets a 7 for episode 2.
Okay.
And 7.5 for episode 3.
All right, we're trending in the right direction.
Correct.
We should be at a 10 by the end of season.
That's what somebody else on my Facebook page wrote, too. They say, yeah, by the end of season, we should be up at a 10. And you're absolutely right. So it's the building. It's the upswing. If I'm not mistaken, Picard had already been renewed for a season 2.
Yes. Yep.
So maybe they've seen something we haven't as of yet. You know, but at this point, there is a steady climb up, and it's a rapid climb, in my opinion, from what I've seen. Special effects off the hook, costumes off the hook, even the makeup department, alien makeup department went off the hook on this. So, and I love that damn dog. I love number one.
I've heard that number one is not exactly what you. I mean, there's a reason why the dog's there. So,
okay. Well, the dog doesn't have a beard, but that's okay.
Right.
I still appreciate it. All right. So that's all I got.
I appreciate it, especially you. You know, just coming back from the coast, and you know, I know that can be because you kind of like flew out and got a good, at least spend a couple of days there, but then flew back and then right back to work again. So,
hey, you know, Clint, it's funny you said that. My head clock here goes off at 5:45. My head clock in LA was going off at 5 a.m. every morning.
Nice.
They're 5 a.m. their time. So it was 8 a.m. here.
Right.
You know, so
good.
Maybe I got enough rest. But
well, Mark, tell the listeners where they can find you and your presence on the internet. Where's a good place to pick up some of these?
You can go ahead and friend me. Find me on Facebook, Mark B. Lee, and that's MARC, B as in boy, LEE, Mark B. Lee. And you're going to have to explain who you are because I really don't friend just about anybody. But the listeners to you guys show, I'll make an exception. I do Saturday morning cartoons, that same address. I do belong to the HWWS network, which is Hanging with Web Show, and they are pretty much my parent company. They have a lot of other providers that support their channel, and my shows are one of their channels there. So HWWS, you could go there as well. Conventions as usual, what I do and my day job, you know, as an architect. So that's about it.
And that's plenty. So don't worry about that being enough.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Awesome.
All right. right. Well, thank you again for spending some time and letting us know what had happened on that whirlwind day in Hollywood. And we will see you, I'm assuming, at Dragon Con.
Yeah, but I'm definitely going to hear you guys before I see you next September or next August.
All right.
By tuning into the show and just listening to what you guys, now that I know about it, listening to what you guys are talking about.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Well, you have a pleasant evening, sir.
Okay. And I am signing off. Thank you a lot.
Thanks, Mark. Soon.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure talking to you. Bye-bye.
Once again, thanks to Mark Lee for joining us and telling us all about the happenings in Hollywood. Mark told you where you could find him, but what about us? Well, you can find me, Clinton, at comedyforecast.com. That's all one word with the number 4 on Twitter, Facebook, MeWe, Instagram, your shopping cart, any place else. You can find me with Comedy Forecast. And who speaks for you, Chuck and Craig, he says.
Every time.
Right. I mean, flip a coin. Flip a coin.
Flip a phaser?
Yeah. Flip a, no, don't do that.
Don't you remember
your Academy trading?
You can find us over at chuckchat.com/Technorama, where you will find the Technorama podcast that covers the same variety of stuff we've been doing for 15 years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hit the theme, boys.
This one.
That's it. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
Don't put on the red shirt.
Did we get it? We didn't get it. We still didn't get it. No.
Two of us were insane.
No. Don't step in the wet cement.
I was in Backstreet Boys. I don't know.